When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to another edition of Trends and Reactions, this time looking forward to week 11. We'll run through the whole Sunday slate and pick out a few things that we can learn for moving forward in the rest of the season. I'm Nate Henry. You can find me on Twitter at NateHenryFF. With that, let's get into it. Saints versus Titans. D'Onta Foreman looks like the running back you want from Tennessee, and the closest the Titans are going to get to Derrick Henry. Without Henry, the Titans have been loath to give one running back all the responsibility. Each of Peterson, Foreman, and McNichols also targets, but Foreman only saw one fewer target than McNichols and did a far better job with the targets he did receive. Foreman got a green zone carry, but Adrian Peterson was also in on a few green zone plays, and he got a target from the one. There weren't a ton of Titans green zone plays, so this is really all we have to go on. But it doesn't appear that Peterson is the exclusive green zone back. In addition, it looks like Marcus Johnson will be the wide receiver replacing Julio Jones. He played the most snaps at wide receiver other than A.J. Brown, and he saw five targets. Tennessee is still kind of trying to find their identity, but Foreman and Johnson's are worth adding in deeper leagues. Bills versus Jets. Michael Carter has clearly beaten out Ty Johnson for the lead running back role in New York. I wouldn't even worry about starting Carter anymore. Just lock him into your lineup. Matt Breida for the Bills popped out of nowhere, but he only played 8 snaps. Surprisingly, he got 3 carries and 3 targets in those 8 snaps, so it appears that this was a bit of a game plan. This may have had something to do with Zach Moss fighting an injury, but Moss still played the most snaps. His opportunity was severely limited, though. He only saw 7 carries and 0 targets on those 28 snaps. They may have been managing workload rather than playing time as part of a game plan here. Lions versus Steelers. In an ugly, ugly game, the two running backs shine. I want to note the 12 targets to Ray-Ray McCloud, though. This is total noise to me. I mean, often you see backup quarterbacks come in and they have a better connection with one of the reserve / second team players because that's just how teams practice. When Ben returns from the COVID list, I don't think there's anything more that'll happen with McCloud. Also, Chase Claypool's absence probably had something to do with McCloud's 12 targets. Even if this was something, this is not the offense you want a ton of exposure in, especially in the passing game. Colts versus Jaguars. My eyes were drawn to James Robinson as he returned to action from a week on the injury report. His peripheral numbers generally tracked with season averages, and most importantly, he got 2 green zone carries at the end of the game and scored on one of those carries. He might spend another week on the injury report, but I think you can start him with confidence in week 11 based on what we saw in this performance. Buccaneers versus Washington. The bye week appears to have been very good for Antonio Gibson's health. Washington gave him 24 carries, and he dominated a very strong Tampa Bay run defense, which is widely regarded as the best in the league. He played 63% of the snaps, which is his highest snap share since week 1 when he had 65. The overwhelmingly positive game script certainly helped Washington and Gibson, and Washington clearly wanted to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, so those two factors certainly contributed to 24 carries. But still, Gibson ran 14 routes, which was only 4 fewer than J.D. McKissick, and most importantly, Jarrett Patterson barely saw the field, which indicates that Washington trusted Gibson's health to actually make this game plan possible. Gibson can do this against Tampa Bay. Should be great against lesser defenses. Browns versus Patriots. Apparently, Ramondre Stevenson is the clear Damian Harris handcuff. While the Patriots maintain their usual committee approach, they still like to define roles, with Harris/Stevenson being the ground game dominator, Bolden being apparently the preferred pass-catching back, and J.J. Taylor spelling the ground game dominator occasionally. Stevenson impressed, so you have to be worried about this if you're a Harris manager. This performance could cut into his workload. I'm not sure what to think of it, but I still think I'm going to be starting Harris on the assumption that he will get his normal role back. Falcons versus Cowboys. It was amazing to see just how important Cordarrelle Patterson is to this Falcons offense. As soon as he was hurt, the entire offense just petered out. Falcons tried to replace Patterson using Wayne Gallman, but it was already too late, and Gallman just doesn't have the exact same skill set. Still, Gallman's worth a pickup if Patterson misses time, but the news I'm reading suggests that Patterson has a chance to play in Week 11. Panthers versus Cardinals. We all knew it was only a matter of time before Cam Newton was declared the starter in Carolina again. P.J. Walker is a stopgap. Even in less than a week of practice, though, the Panthers already had goal line plays drawn up and designed for Cam Newton, and he scored 2 touchdowns as a result of it. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Cam Newton named the starter in Week 11, so go get him if he's available. It's worth an add in any league, but especially in those Superflex leagues because of his rushing upside. Vikings versus Chargers. Justin Jefferson finally got the type of workload he deserves. 11 targets on 37 routes. That's a 30% TPRR. It's just the type of workload we'd expect for someone as good as him. There were even a few times when Kirk Cousins just threw to him, regardless of coverage. Double, triple, didn't matter. He just got the ball to him. And that's the type of thing you love to see because Jefferson usually comes down with it, and he did in this game. Let's hope that Cousins and the Vikings staff finally realize something here. Just get the ball to Jefferson however you can and as many times as you can. Seahawks versus Packers. A.J. Dillon can handle the load. The Packers look to be without Aaron Jones for a couple weeks, and Dillon looks solid. I think he should be close to RB1 status while Jones is out. Also, I like the Packers' defense. They completely stopped a competent offense in the Seahawks, and they've been on a bit of a hot streak lately, and this is all without Jair Alexander, their best defensive player. This seems to be a DST you can start every week with confidence, and they get the Lions 2 more times this year, too, so I would pick them up. Eagles versus Broncos. Devonta Smith continues to do great things with limited passing volume. The Eagles only threw 23 times this week, though. Smith is clearly an alpha receiver, especially on this team, so you can do what you want with him. But I'd be shopping him for sure. Look, I got Amari Cooper for him last week, and yes, it didn't work out this week, but I'm hopeful long-term. Maybe you could get A.J. Brown coming off that game being shut down by Marcus Lattimore. So it's worth shopping him, but sell super, super high. Chiefs versus Raiders. Patrick Mahomes looked a lot better this week. Some of his performance was benefited by a bad defense, but I saw a lot more quick passing as Kansas City was ready to matriculate the offense against another cover two-man look. They ran a bunch of crossing routes and took a lot of yardage over the middle of the field. We all had that feeling that Kansas City and Mahomes eventually figure it out. I'm still a little bit apprehensive, but I really liked what I saw. Mahomes wasn't forcing it. He was taking what was given. There were no Superman throws, just easy throws based on what the defense gave. That won't always lead to a 5-touchdown game, but it's encouraging. Lastly, I really liked what Mahomes was doing in the pocket. He stepped up in the pocket instead of ran to the sides like he's been doing so much lately. And that's the best I've seen him stepping up in the pocket all year. It's not like he was never under pressure, but he managed to avoid the pressure a lot better. I think the quick passing game is what helped his confidence a lot, because when Mahomes did take a 5 or 7 step drop, he didn't panic right away when a little bit of pressure arrived. That's a great mix of offense for Kansas City and a much better outlook for Mahomes. All right, that does it for me. Again, I'm Nate Henry, and go win some fantasy championships.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.